It's time now for our monthly visit with our friends, and you can find their office at 478 East Grand Avenue in downtown Wisconsin Rapids, right across from Hotel Mead. And joining us today is Jenny Riggenbach and Rick Burton from Encourage, and we're going to be talking about a very interesting conference that's coming to Hotel Mead in Wisconsin Rapids on December 7th. In conjunction with the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago, Encourage is hosting the conference called Investing in Healthy Communities. With that, we welcome Jenny and Rick, and yes, I'm a little giddy. It's the day after the election, and no more election commercials.
All right.
Yes, I'm happy.
Congratulations.
I know. I'm very happy. I'm very happy. Okay, what are we talking about? The Federal Reserve Bank and investing in healthy communities. What's this all about?
I'm glad you asked, Carl. That's
I'm
a
sure
great
you are.
Question. You are such a great question asker. Well, the Federal Reserve Bank is a national system that has two primary goals, controlling the policy here to monitor inflation, keep inflation under control, but then also to analyze and understand the economy and support the economy. And what the Federal Reserve has learned is that it's very important at the local level to invest in the holistic term of a healthy community. And so the Federal Reserve has been doing these conferences, these discussions with issue experts in the country. We're at 30-some conferences so far. In Wisconsin here, this is the third one that'll be in Wisconsin. The first one was in Milwaukee, the second one was in Platteville, and the third one here is in Wisconsin Rapids. So we're very delighted to be partnering with the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago, and we are in the Chicago territory. If somebody's questioning why the Federal Bank of Chicago and not Minneapolis,
because
Wisconsin's kind of divided, and we're in the Chicago side. So that's why we're partnering with the Chicago Fed. They're a great partner.
You know, that's a good thing to know. Just be, next time I see economic stats, to know which Federal Reserve Bank to look at.
Right.
Okay, so who's coming to this? Who are you hoping to have at this conference?
Sure. Well, we're going to have actually 10 sessions, panels throughout the day, Carl, right here in Wisconsin Rapids. And each panel is comprised of at least one investor and really cutting-edge practitioners. We've got three tracks. One track is going to focus on people. So, for example, early childhood programs, aging programs, workforce development solutions. And it'll really delve in deeply into understanding, you know, what makes really innovative programs targeted at making a community healthier and improving the economy. So you'll see of our tracks is focused on environmental sustainability. Where are the investments happening to make realize new jobs in the sustainability field? The third is on place. We're going to focus on investments in communities or neighborhoods. And I know Rick has a really good fun fact. It's not so fun. It's actually
fun.
A reality check fact for us.
It's Rick's fun fact of the day.
It is. Here's a question for you, Carl.
Okay.
In terms of your predicted longevity, which is more important, your genetic code or your zip code?
Ooh. Well, the scientists would probably say genetic code, but I would imagine it's the zip code.
You are correct. And the scientists would have said genetic code until they did all the analysis and said where you live is actually more important than your makeup. That was one of the interesting, highly relevant facts that came out of the Platteville event, for me anyway, was the understanding of when we talk about health in a more global sense, right?
Right.
We talk about it in terms of not just our local hospital or our physician. We're talking about our community, right? And there's this thing called determinants of health, which have a number of different components of what comprises community health. Things such as healthy behaviors, clinical care, so that's where your access to care comes in, social and economic factors, physical environment factors. All of those factor into your health, and that's why your zip code is actually statistically more important than your genetic code.
Okay, I can understand that. If you live, say, in a very impoverished area, Exactly. Chances are your life will be much shorter.
Exactly. And one of the examples that they had in Platteville was in the Minneapolis area, just 10 miles away. 10 miles away, so in different zip codes, but 10 miles away, 10 years average lifespan difference
wow.
in those populations. So that brings us to the concept of this more holistic concept of health. What is it? And that's where Jenny's talking about people, places, and sustainability, those different components that all contribute to a healthy community. And that's where we really want to get that discussion going with subject matter experts in those areas.
Exactly, because we're learning more and more about what the best communities around the country are doing to create conditions for everyone at every income level to be have fulfilling lives. And that's really, at its core, what the investment strategies are looking like. So, you know, there's one session that we're going to have that's going to focus on how hospitals and institutions are seeking new solutions and investing in investments that keep people healthy. So not just, as Rick said, investing in having great doctors and making sure you have great care, but what are the components that keep people healthy?
Right.
What are the right kinds of programs? Access to good food. There's going to be another session.
Exercise.
Yes, great. We are going to have a whole session dedicated to the food system and understanding how even buying locally from your area farmers really contributes to both your health and the health of your health of our economy.
Okay. I noticed in the cover sheet that some of the specific goals of this conference create common ground. That would make sense, that everybody knows what the game plan is.
Mm-hmm.
Support movement from idea to action.
Right.
And set the stage for ongoing regional collaboration, something we've talked about in the past.
Right, exactly. And what this is not going to be is your traditional sit and get.
Okay.
The technology that we're going to be using at this conference is very collaborative. So it's meant to bring those practitioners in that can share the examples of how and where this idea, this concept is working really well, and then to build out how can we achieve that here, or if, you know, some variant thereof. So it's really to take those ideas, benchmark them, and spread them and increase the health of our community.
In other words, you get an idea from here. This is what worked in Community X. This is how we can make it happen here if we did A, B, and C or whatever.
Exactly. A little bit, but a lot of the panelists that you're going to see are actually from Central Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
It is. We're bringing in national perspective and the innovators that are right here, Carl, across our state and across our community.
And talking about innovators, one of the things that we're having at the conference is what we call a hall, which is going to be an area for different partners in this whole planning process. We've had a multitude of partners in putting this all together. It's a big lift to do this.
Right. Believe me. Imagine.
It is a big lift. But each of those have different aspects that we really want to bring out and highlight. And I'm just going to mention one of them that really I think is a great idea. We have a partner called Impact 7, which is a community development financial institution that's got a project down in La Crosse. It's a housing project, but it's so much more. It's for homeless vets and how they're wrapping around the services to not only provide them a place to stay, a place to live, but supporting them to rebuild their lives. That's a great example of the type of innovation that we want to highlight and spread throughout the state, our region, the nation.
Okay, so in other instances, taking a look at housing needs, well, it goes beyond just a shelter.
Exactly.
It has to do with, okay, if we're going to be housing someone with within a lower economic strata, how can we get them up that economic strata? And how can the housing help get them to work somewhere?
Absolutely. And great segue. You know, part of in that common ground that you're going to hear about at the beginning of the day, you're going to hear about the reality that if someone's income obviously impacts their ability to live a healthy life, that's really tied to your job and the ability to have a good job. We're going to have a session dedicated to that. So all of these things interconnect, housing, employment, food, you name it.
Well, and supporting local businesses.
Absolutely.
If people are struggling to make ends meet, they can't buy or purchase goods and services that if they were in a upper, say, middle-class strata, that would support the overall local business economy. I mean, local small businesses depend not on super rich, but the average person going out to eat for a fish fry on a Friday, buying clothes for their kids, or buying whatever.
We're all
buying
connected.
Cars. You're right.
It's all connected.
Okay. So out of this, you're expecting a better understanding of connection?
Yes, better understanding opportunities, right? So all the different participants that are coming from a variety of different areas. Jennifer mentioned investors, which includes bankers and what we call CDFIs or community development financial institutions. A number of different areas are also at the same time looking for to make a difference, right? How can they make a difference in their community, in this community? So by presenting all these different ideas, these are opportunities for them to invest and make this a healthier community.
Okay. And I imagine you'll be looking at some of the statistics that have come out on the health of communities and the like.
We will definitely be looking at that, and not only the statistics on what community health are healthier, but what is the return on some of these investments? Mm-hmm. We know banks don't make investments without the thought of what is the return, right?
Right.
And part of our target audience, as Rick said, it goes beyond banks. Obviously, we have CDFIs, foundations themselves, businesses, and even advisors to those in those arenas we want to see come to this and really think about it from, you know, their lens and what the best return for ourselves and our customers, but also how we can do that by making our community more livable.
Yeah, and getting everybody involved, which leads to greater economic activity, which the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago is very interested in. It's our monthly report from Encourage. Jenny Rickenbach and Rick Merton are here, and we're previewing a major conference that Encourage is partnering with the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago to host December 7th at Hotel Mead here in Wisconsin Rapids. It's entitled Investing in Healthy Communities. Okay, who's coming? You host a big conference. Who's coming?
Lots of people.
Lots of people.
It's only $50. It's quite the great deal. Well, we've talked a lot about investors and that being a target audience for us. Also,
we're talking about entrepreneurs, business and angel investors, or
all of that exactly. Yeah. And also innovative practitioners, because it is also not just the financial resources that go into making the communities better. It is the people themselves. So we're talking about healthcare leaders, nonprofit leaders, government leaders, those that are really working on the ground to make the programs that we talked about earlier really succeed and thrive for people in our communities.
Okay. So I noticed, like, the mayor will be giving a message early in the day, and you got Kelly will be talking as well.
Yes, there's a number of partnering with Encourage. You could ask, you know, why is the Federal Reserve partnering with Encourage?
Yeah,
well, it's because of our different areas of work, and I'm not sure if you saw Kelly's latest blog, but Kelly talked about, a lot of times we're asked, you know, what is Encourage?
Yes.
And that's what her last blog was, detailing what Encourage does, and we do so much more than a traditional community foundation. That's why we don't use community foundation a lot, is because it doesn't really describe our work. But the areas of our work have so much intersection with the goals and objectives of the Federal Reserve, for example. And so they're looking for, you know, partners in this work, and in our work marries very well with what they're doing here. And I think that shows very well, too, in Encourage has a lot of very good representation on a number of the different panels.
Yeah. Right. You're going to hear about our work with Workforce Central, our Blueprints Initiative, which I believe Heather Phillips has been here to talk about, and the Tribune being what the Federal Reserve Bank would call bright spots in the region, that is really at its core about the collaboration and solutions that are growing economies.
Okay, so what would you hope participants attending this will get out of it?
A donut.
No, there won't be any donuts. Healthy.
Oh, that's right. Healthy community. Cheese.
Veggies.
No, we hope that everybody that attends was going to bring home some really practical applications, ways that they can collaborate. And we're going to be working on trying to network the participants as well, trying to get them connected to others in the same type of interest area or geography.
Mm-hmm. And as Rick mentioned earlier, we've got some great technology tools that are going to help us that day and help us connect conference. Right. So when people register, they're actually going to be asked to download an app. This is almost going to be paper-free. Not quite. Maybe
okay.
We are in
We're
Wisconsin
a paper
Rapids.
Community. Yep. Mm-hmm.
But really, the goal of going to the technology is to continue the conversation past December 7th and keep people connected.
Okay, that leads into a question that's on my sheet here. Who can attend and why, and how does someone get signed up for the conference?
Sure, you can go to our website, encourage.com. Wait,
encourage.org.
EncourageCF.org. It's been a while since I've typed it in. comes up automatically for me. But if you go to our site
and you go to click on events, and about three down is the Federal Reserve Bank. We got a couple other events happening before December 3rd. But that's where you can find. Otherwise, call us, 715-3863. We'd be happy to send you any information you might want to register. We are actually over 150. We've got about 50 spots left. So don't hesitate if anyone is interested in joining us on that day.
Okay. If someone is thinking, well, why should I attend? What would you tell them?
Well, I think it's an opportunity to hear and learn and participate in discussions on a number of this. And I think the broad focus of the broad but narrow focus of the conference allows a lot of different peoples with a lot of different interests opportunities. Because during some of the breakouts, we're going to have, four different breakouts happening at the same time, so you get to choose, where is your area of interest. So there's plenty of different subject matters to really delve into wherever you have your passion.
Okay.
I would also add, Carl, that not only do we have a great speakers, but the registrations that we see, it's really some wonderful people throughout the state of Wisconsin and a little sprinkled in nationally, even just coming to attend this conference. We've got a couple people who've registered from as far away as Washington, D.C.
Okay, and this kind of ties in with your impact papers.
Exactly.
So talk a little bit about that for folks that may not be familiar about that.
Sure. Again, this goes back a little bit to the question in terms of what is Encourage, and it also is connected to why would the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago pick Encourage? Well, we know it's because of our work, of our past work, but up to this point we had not really captured and put all that work in different buckets, if you will, and really to communicate that. Well, we have done that now. On our website, if you go to encouragecf.org and then you go up to Learn and Resources, you'll find four of our impact papers. And so what those impact papers do is they take in a particular area, such as art and culture, youth, downtown development, or economic growth, and it puts together all of our work. Everything that we've been over the years here talking about
sure.
is captured within that. So it's in one place where you can see all of the things that encourage, for example, in the area of community development, which we've been talking about.
Okay, so then you get a better idea of what exactly Encourage is all about.
Yeah,
exactly.
And it goes in, there's a lot of detail in these, Carl. So the economic growth paper that we wanted to share with you today, when we totaled up our investments and our impact, Encourage has invested more than $15 million in growing our economy. And that's been with some partners and a lot of our work generally. And it talks about some of that, how that work breaks down. So things like Workforce Central and the over 700 people we've trained and the 35 businesses we've impacted there. We're continuing to help our community, our businesses, and our workforce understand what is it going to take to be a thriving community in the future. We've started to do loans. I know Kelly and others have been here to talk about the company we've been investing in. Those loans to CDFIs are actually then in turn loaned out to small businesses right here in our community. So you can read more about those kinds of things in the impact paper.
Okay, and the overall aspect, the whole impact is to get this everybody involved in development.
Yeah, through the whole spectrum, and we'll probably just highlight a couple of them. I'm going to highlight one that I'm particularly really proud of, and gives me goosebumps when I talk about it. So be careful.
Okay.
They get kind of big. So.
Okay.
But for an example, in our Workforce Central work, we work on what we call the whole pipeline, right, of the work. How do we interest people all the way from early K-12 all the way through displaced workers? How do we interest them in the available sectors for employment, family-sustaining jobs? So we have a number of different activities in there, but one of the ones that we've really made good progress because of the excellent partners that we've had, including the businesses specifically and the K-12 system internship program. When we started looking at this back at the beginning, we knew that manufacturing, for example, is still our number one employment sector. So even though everything that's happened in the paper mill, and I personally came through that, everything that's happened in that sector, manufacturing is still number one in our area. Do our residents, do our kids understand that and the opportunities there? Not very much. So we recognize that there's an opportunity and a need there. When we started this, there was zero youth apprenticeships in manufacturing. Our biggest sector was going without any youth involvement in the specific business. Very good program in the financial area, the mm-hmm. banks and credit unions, very good program, but nothing in manufacturing. Working with our partner employers, working with the school systems and the students to the opportunities, we've grown that, and this fall now we're at 10 youth now that are in manufacturing operations across our region, and three of them are girls. Because that's the other thing that we see is regionally the portion of females in manufacturing is not where it could be.
How has that effort been helped by things like the Heart of Wisconsin Heavy Tour, where kids get that initial exposure to?
Exactly. It's all part of that pipeline, right?
Okay.
It's all part of that exposure.
Okay.
And one of the examples that, since you brought that up, that I'll talk about is the first, in our area, the first heavy metal bus tour that took place. Don't ask me the year. You're going to tax me. But the first time we had that, one of the young gentlemen that was on that was an eighth grader at the time and was exposed to these different businesses and Mid-State. Really had his eyes opened in terms of the potentiality, for a family-sustaining wage here. Well, you keep building on that. You keep building on that information. He also was pulled into our youth apprenticeship program.
Okay.
So he had a two-year youth apprenticeship at Point Precision, just down the road, down in Plover. Did excellent. Worked last summer, third shift, all summer. He has expanded his horizons and is now an engineering student stout. So to go all the way from, an eighth grader, twiddling thumbs and looking all around to an engineering student at UW Stout, what
That's
a great
incredible.
Story.
Isn't it? And, Carl, I would add that, Rick takes people really deep into this work. So, it's one thing to be on a heavy metals bus tour and have the idea sparked, but it really takes the kinds of partnerships we're building to really make it happen.
And mentorships. Mentorships
yes.
are so huge. This is Investing in Healthy Communities, Ideas for Action for Healthy People, Places, and Planet. It's happening December 7th at Hotel Mead in Wisconsin Rapids. Encourage in cooperation with the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago is hosting this all-day conference. And we've been visiting with Jenny Riggenbach and Rick Merton from Encourage to learn more about it. Well, let's hope for a very successful conference.
Yes, and if anybody's interested in any of those four impact papers that we have put together, mm-hmm. so call us, 715-423-3863. We'll send you out that impact paper and read about what Encourage is.
Okay, sounds good. Well, good luck with the conference, and thank you for spending time with us this morning.
Thanks for having us, Carl.
Okay, and that's going to do it for our monthly report from Encourage and part two of today's Morning Magazine here on AM 1320 and WFHR.com.